I want to invite you, if you would, to take your Bibles once again and turn with me to the book of Micah. We're going to do Micah chapter 6, one verse, and will you read it with me? This is not responsive reading. This is you read it with me, okay? So here we go. I'm reading from the New King James. Just read it from whatever you got. If you got it up there, read it from there. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to live mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And the people said, Amen. You may be seated. God bless you, and thank you once again for standing in honor of the reading of God's holy word. I'm going to tell you that I'm here this morning a little bit undone. My wife and I went to Lake Charles, Louisiana yesterday. We didn't lose a penny. Well, yeah, we did, because we ate at a place in Beaumont that was way too expensive. But we didn't gamble. We went to pick up a piece of furniture that belongs to the church, and it had to be done. And so I come to you a little bit undone this morning. I stayed up too late. But the beauty of it is I want to finish a sermon I started last week. Now, the sermon only had 3 points. I did 2 of them last week. So I'm going to spend the remainder of the time that I have with you today completing my task of talking to you again about another installment in walking closely. Remember we all said at the very beginning, like we all did about cell phones a while ago, I said, how many of you want a closer walk with God? Everybody raise their hand. How many of you want a closer walk with God? Better yet, how many of you don't? I was going to come stand by you, drag you down the aisle at the invitation. Every one of us indicate we want to have this closer walk with God. And I started out last week with just 3 things I want to talk about. And I knew, had Bob been here last week, I'd have told him at the onset, Bob, I don't think I'll get through with this. And you're probably saying, now, if you don't move on, you don't get through with this either. So let me review for you just real quick about the 2 things I talked about last week and do it the very best I can as quickly as I can without getting in any trouble. First of all, I made 2 general statements at the beginning of that message, and they were this. Walking closer with God is not accomplished by an outward empty profession. Walking closer with God doesn't happen with an outward empty profession. In other words, if it ain't real, it ain't real. If it's not right, it's not right. If it's not in your heart, deep inside, seated there, it won't help you. So to have this closer walk, you don't accomplish that by an outward empty profession. Instead, the closer walk only comes from an inward possession of the soul. So notice I said profession outwardly, but now I'm talking about the inward possession of the soul and the heart, and because of that, humanity, through humble submission to God, gets that closer walk with Him. Then I went on to talk about 2 things last week. We're to walk justly. Let me try to do this in a nutshell real fast. As a Christian, how many Christians do I have in here? How many of you want to be? I'll come get you in a minute. As a Christian, you've already received the greatest justice ever because God has transferred your life from unrighteousness to righteousness. He has given you justice in His blood. And because of that, now you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're moving along in the right direction, walking justly. We walk in Jesus Christ, living our lives through Him and by Him. It's us in Him and we in He. Is that good English? I can't say it again. It's an us in Him and a we in He. That means that we're walking our life justly before God every day, day in and day out, living Christ out. We are to love mercy. I started last week, and I got off a little bit. It took me a little time to get there. I got off in a thing talking about forgiveness, talking about us being forgiven by the Heavenly Father, and then talking about how sometimes that's clouded in our lives by the fact that things are going on in our lives, maybe between us and our wife, a spouse, maybe between you and a friend, maybe a neighbor, who knows? Something's going on, and because of that, you've kind of got to see, you got a burr stuck in your saddle. You know what that means? If you throw a saddle up on a horse, I understand. I rode horses when I was a kid. My grandpa had a horse. We would talk him into saddling that horse up, and we'd ride it all over town. I remember going by and picking up Clay Webb and getting him on the horse and promising him a ride, and like take him here to that door and take him back home. But if you get a burr in the saddle, it's not good news. There are a lot of people in their life living with a burr in the proverbial saddle, if you will. And that burr is something that's deep inside that maybe you're not forgiving somebody for, maybe you're not going beyond what you feel to go what God wants you to do. If you love mercy, then we walk in God's mercy and we show that mercy in which we are walking to others around us. Mercy, we said, is equivalent with faithfulness. God is faithful, amen. God is also merciful. And I thank God for both of those things. And if we know Christ, then we realize that God is faithful to show us mercy, and we should be faithful to him, walking with him while showing others the mercy of God. Mercy demonstrated by you will win friends and neighbors quicker than anything else. I need your mercy. I'm a mess. I need your mercy. I need God's mercy more than anything. But we need to demonstrate that mercy. And then the final thing I want to talk to you about in this closer walk pursuit we've been talking about for the last several weeks, and we got a few more left. The thing I want to talk to you about in this closer walk, we come to this third piercing challenge of Michael's prophecy. We are to walk humbly with God. Yes, amen. I've asked somebody to sing a little song to show you what this is not. Okay?
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be perfect in every way.
How many of you know the song?
I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me.
Oh my.
I must.
That ain't what this is about. That's not humility at all. So I want us to talk about what it means to walk humbly with God. Micah kind of gives us a powerful challenge here. He challenges people to walk humbly with God. So let's talk about that word humble. Let's talk about the word humbly and humble as it is in Scripture. There's a neat thing about Micah chapter 6. When you see that word humbly, he says to walk humbly with God in the last phrase of that eighth verse. When you see that word humbly, it is only used in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's only used in the Bible one time, right here. You know, now humble and humbly is other places, yes, but the word in the Hebrew is only used here one time, and it's kind of an interesting word. I'm going to sound like an East Texan trying to speak Spanish, but listen. The word is sade nuna. Sade nuna. Say that with me. Sade nuna. Actually, that means you're giving me all your money. I just recorded it. This is the only time in the Bible that word is used, here in Micah 6, verse 8. It's one of those Hebrew words, and we had another one of these a day or two ago. It's one of those Hebrew words that's kind of hard to translate. It's kind of hard to put it into the language that you and I can understand. So scholars, not me, but scholars I've read about, have kind of tried to translate this word, sade nuna, and here's what they say. The best we can do, they say, is to be humble, is to be clear and pure in your living. To be humble, you're clear and pure in your living. They say it also means to be cautious and careful. It means to be reasonable and attentive. You know anybody who needs to be humble? Needs to be reasonable and attentive. And finally, it's deliberately living a lowly lifestyle. Now let's talk about that word lowly. Most of the time in our society, if we say that word lowly, we instantly think of a loser. You know what they are, right? Every one of you done this before, and you're talking about somebody, you go, yeah, old Reagan, he's a loser. And we know what that means. So this humbly that we're talking about is to walk lowly. It's not to make too much. It's like Mac Davis saying about there just a minute ago. It's not talking about how beautiful and how great you are and all the things you've done. But on the other hand, it's to be lowly and humble in the presence of God. That means I don't go in before God beating my chest saying, God, I am a super preacher. I am a super Christian. I'm just what you need. No, God is just what I need. And we don't ever want to get that out of place. We never get to a place in our life where we think that we're really something. And I want to say some things to you as we move along this today. So often, we think about people that are lowly. We think about people that are not successful. We think they're pitiful. However, this unique word, as it's used here, describes authentic humility. It talks about somebody being as low as they possibly can be. You know what I think about when I think about humility? I think about the number of times in the Gospels when we see Jesus Christ walking about in a city in the Bible, walking about in a house in the Bible, walking about in Scripture. How many times do we see people who the Bible says they fall on their face before him? To be humble is to get down as low as you can in the presence of God. To be humble is to realize how much God has done for you, and more about that as we move along. We are to be humble. We are to exercise humility as we walk along with God. Humility, when you focus on that character trait, you focus on what God really is. God has been so humble that he's allowed us to be saved. He's been so humble that he would dare to come from heaven and step into my presence and allow me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Being humble defines a person who's come to the realization that God is God. See, there's a lot of debate today. People say, well, I'm not so sure about God. I was reading something the other day and it said something about the gods. And I thought, wait a minute. There's not any gods as far as I'm concerned. There's one God. And when you decide in your heart that our God is a living God and our God has given us his mercy, our God has demonstrated for us his righteousness at the cross, giving Jesus Christ, once you come to that realization and put yourself in the place that you are, saved by the grace of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you get kind of humble, realizing you can't do it yourself. I can't save me. I can't save you. Somebody came to me one day and said, preacher, I want you to save me. I said, you're barking up the wrong tree, friend. I'm sorry. What do you mean? You're a preacher, aren't you? Yeah, but listen, I can't save you. Jesus Christ can save you. I can lead you how to drink that water. I can lead you to that place where you can know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, the Holy Spirit of the living God has got to change you. When you're humble, you come to that realization of who God is. And you come to the realization of what God has done through Jesus Christ for you. It's an amazing thing when humility strikes a man or a woman or a young person. Humility is to focus on the fact of the cross, to focus on what God has done for us, to be humble in the presence of God. I love what Paul says as he's speaking to the Colossians believers. I want to read you a passage of Scripture. Can you stand it? This passage I want to read you comes from Colossians chapter 1. Dale and Bonnie are back there scrambling right now to get there. It comes from Colossians chapter 1, and this passage describes one who has grasped who Jesus is and what he's done for them. That's what this is all about. When a person gets to where this is the confession of your heart, the scripture I'm about to read, listen. For this reason, Paul is writing to the Colossian believers in 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you walk worthy of the Lord. Now, let me stop there. When you are filled with the knowledge of God, that doesn't mean that you're some super scholar. That means that you're filled with the knowledge of God in your heart of what God has done for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, you begin to realize how pitiful you were, how pitiful you are, and how much you need God in your life. Then you walk worthy of the Lord. There's no room for strutting in God. I've known a few preachers who appear to strut. There's no room for strutting in God. Because in the presence of God, you got to be humble in his presence. You come to a full understanding, back in verse 9, of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. You'll only please God when you're humble in his presence. You can't walk into God demanding. God has met your demand at the cross. You don't go in before God saying, God, if you don't, you go in the presence of God very humbly. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. Let me stop for just a second. You want to talk about humility. You latch on to, you sink your teeth into what God has done. I mean, you get a good picture of it. You go read the Gospels. You go read about Christ coming to earth and dying in your place. You go read about the cross. You go read history about what dying on a cross looked like and what it was like and what was going into crucifying a man on a cross. And you get a good look at that, and all of a sudden you realize that you're delivered from darkness. Paul goes and says that. You're delivered from darkness, and now God has put you in the light. And you get there, folks, you get humble. It continues. Being fruitful of every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and longsuffering with joy. Walking humbly in the presence of God is to be filled with the joy of God and letting everybody know it. It's not about you, it's about God. It's not about what I've done, it's about what God has done. I was visiting the other day with our new chamber CEO. He's over here somewhere, Jason. We were visiting the other day, and I began to tell him about the history of the church and what God had done here. And I said, I want you to understand something. This ain't about me, it's about what God has done through me. And I realized it could have been anybody. It could have been Kyle. It could have been Brother Cliff. But thank God it was me. And I get the opportunity that God has used me in this place. And folks, when you get to that place, realizing God is using you and filling you and delivering you and walking with you and carrying you, long-suffering and patience becomes a part of who you are, and joy just beams in your heart, no matter what's going on. Verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son and his Son's love, in whom we have redemption through the blood of Jesus, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. There's a song that somebody sings. I'm not going to sing it for you to leave. I think it was Charles Billingsley maybe who sung this song. It talks about that he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ, the image of God, the firstborn of all creation, Paul said. For by him, verse 16 says, all things were created, they're in heaven and they're on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him, for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things may have preeminence. I want you to understand. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? It has to do with this. That in our lives, individually, collectively as a body, but in our lives individually, we give preeminence to Jesus Christ. We realize that he is Lord. We realize that what he has done, nobody else can do for us, that Jesus is Lord, and we get him in our life. And listen, the rest of it takes care. Humility is not a problem. It gets very personal with you when you get a look at Jesus. And when your salvation gets very personal with you, humility is never an issue. When you gain the spiritual knowledge that Paul speaks of in that passage that I just read you in Colossians, when you focus on Jesus, I love what Colossians 3:2 says. You know the verse. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you begin to focus on things of the earth, you begin to focus on your IRA and your retirement and your car and your motorcycle and your lawnmower and you just focus on it. Oh, and your family, your house. When your focus gets out of whack, that's good terminology, right? When your focus gets out of whack, you're not going to be very humble. Focus on Christ. Focus on what he's done. And when you get there, humility is never an issue. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. You'll see Christ Jesus high and lifted up. You'll cry out holy to him, as the song we sang a few moments ago. And you'll realize that Jesus Christ is all in all, that everything consists by him and is for him. And when Jesus becomes the centerpiece and cornerstone, as well as the foundation of your life, and you remind yourself of that daily, that he gave his life on the cross for you, you will be humbled in your heart, mind, and soul. And you'll find out what we said in the very beginning of this series. It'll be easy to love him with all your heart, mind, and soul, because it'll all be in the hands of Jesus. When I think of humility, y'all okay? I can start over. Some of y'all, my son has this gun I was telling some folks about this morning. It's a, I don't even know what it is. It's a soft pellet gun. It doesn't hurt you. It's like a like shooting a vitamin at you. You know those jelly vitamins? It's like shooting one of those at you. I've been thinking about getting one of those. If I catch you sleeping, just pop it right between the eyes with it. I was telling my son about that, and he said, Dad, don't do that. I said, why? He said, because that thing looks too much like an AR-15. You pull out from behind that pulpit, somebody on that security team is going to shoot you. So I'm not going to bring that. So wake up, please. When I think about humility, I think about what Isaiah said. God called Isaiah, and Isaiah answered affirmatively to God that he wanted to work for him. And Isaiah 6:1, you know this verse of scripture as well. The old prophet tells us about his experience when he gets humbled in the presence of God. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you see the Lord, so I haven't seen him yet. Well, when you see the Lord in your heart, in your life, in the lives of those around you, when I see the Lord, Isaiah said, when I saw him, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, so he had God in the right place, high and lifted up, he was humbled before him, and he said the train of his robe filled his temple, and Isaiah goes on to say this, I was undone. In other words, in that little terminology right there, Isaiah said, I realized my worth was nothing. I realize that I'm a nobody. I realize that God is everything. And once you get to that place where you set yourself on a lower shelf somewhere down there, God will bless your life and be blessing your life, and you will be in a humble position where you need to be. When God is guiding your life in your relationship with Jesus, and you're keenly aware of the presence and preeminence of the Holy Spirit in your life, humility won't be an issue. In fact, it's humility that brings a person to a place where they can see God as they should. Because we have a tendency, we human beings, I wanted to say in particular men, but then your wife would fight you this afternoon and tell you. We human beings have this tendency to build ourselves up. Have you ever noticed that? I know some people who, they'll tell you that they're the president of the company, when really they're the custodian on the third floor. I mean, it's not wrong with being a custodian, you don't understand me. But sometimes we'll build ourselves up to be something more than we are. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I am a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the worst you've ever known. Chief among sinners, as Paul said. The only hope that I have is a hope that I have in Jesus Christ. I don't have a hope in anything else, not in the church, not in being a pastor, not in being a husband. I'm sorry at that. Not in being a grandpa. I'm really good at that. Not in being a father-in-law. I'm kind of a daddy. I'm not good at all those things, but I am good in God. And I've come to a place where I realize that without him, I'm nothing. Humility will not be an issue when you get to that place where you know that you know God. Now, I got to say this. You think you're getting out early because I said it that way. If you really want to get humble, anybody here want to guess what I'm fixing to say? Somebody said it. If you really want to get humble before God, obey God. Just do what God says to do. You say, well, preaching, I'm about tired of you saying obedience. Well, you probably need to go to another church. You can go to dead, die, and I can point you to 10 of them, but you can stay around here and be alive. The humble person places himself under the authority of God. And when I think about humility and being under the direction of God through the Holy Spirit, I think about one more passage of Scripture, and I want to leave you with this passage. I'm not going to just read it, though. I got to tell you a few things about it. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. New Testament book back there toward the end. Get back in there and you'll find it. You'll be in the right spot. If you've got the right Bible, it's on page 1459. If you don't, good luck. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I want to leave you with this passage of Scripture. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let me stop a second. Let this mind be in you. What mind? Diana, we were talking not long ago about a study called The Mind of Christ. I had the opportunity to sit under the guy who authored that study guide, and what an amazing time it was to think about letting the mind of Christ be in my mind. Taking my thoughts and setting them aside for the thoughts of God. Let this mind be in you, Paul says to the Philippian believers, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So get this picture. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. Jesus left heaven knowing he's going to the cross. Now get this. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, leaves heaven for the likes of me. If you don't think you're bad, let me be that one. He left heaven for the likes of me. He humbled himself, counted himself of no reputation, the Bible says, taking on the form of a bondservant. Let me tell you about a bondservant. In Scripture, there's all kinds of servants. A bondservant was a purchased possession. And if that bondservant belonged to you, he was Onesimus. Go back and read the book of Philemon, and you'll discover something about a bondservant there. It belonged to the owner. The owner was life and death. The owner had totally, complete control of this bondservant. Look what Jesus did. The Bible says he left the splendor of heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, willing to come to earth and become a man, fully God, counted himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ came like you and I, blood and flesh, flesh and blood, bone, came just like us, suffered a real death on Calvary's cross, took on himself no reputation, became as a bondservant, came in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Get that. You know, that old song, he could have called 10,000 angels. Hanging on that cross on Calvary's mountain just outside of the city of Jerusalem, he could have called 10,000 angels and we would not be here today. You say, well, that wasn't in God's will. Let me tell you something. It's God hanging on that cross. Huh? It's God hanging on that cross. It's Emmanuel. It's God among us. God has taken on flesh, hanging on that cross. And friends, I submit to you that had God decided at that moment when they drove that spike, it's over. I'm not going to do it for Reagan. I'm not going to do it for Fred. I'm not going to do it for Susie. I'm out. We would not be here today. He humbled himself. In the presence of all that torture and all that pain, he humbled himself. And the Bible says he became, oh, I love this word, obedient. He became obedient to what? He became obedient to the plan that God had put in place. You see, had God not put his plan in place, every one of us in this building and everybody outside, every human being ever born that has been born, is born, or will be born, everyone would be doomed for death. You say, but don't we all die? Yeah, physically, it's going to come to an end one of these days. But my life, my soul, is going to live forever. Why? Because Jesus Christ said when he gave his life on the cross that he was able to take me and commute that sentence. But let me tell you what you got to do about that sentence. You got to receive that sentence. You got to know that that sentence is real in your life. He came as a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Now think about that. I had a little splinter in my finger one day, and I decided to go to a surgeon, Vicky. I said, honey, I need to get this out of my finger. I'm glad you weren't there to see that. I was pitiful. I mean, this it was a big old splinter. I mean, it was like, once I got it out and put a magnifying glass on it, you could see it. But boy, let me tell you something, digging around in that finger with that needle. I say, oh, honey, don't jerk, you'll make me stick you deeper. That pain Let me tell you something. If I could have chosen not to have that, I wouldn't have had it. He, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death. Now, I know there's a lot of books out there, and I know there's a lot of folks that may disagree with me, but that's okay. You've been mad at me before. You'll get over it. I don't know about these people who write these books about dying, going to heaven, coming back. They must not know the Lord if they came back. I got a notion, if I ever get up there, you're not getting me back. I'm not coming back. And I don't mean if I ever get up there because I don't know I'm going. I mean if it ever happens. And it will someday. But I don't believe you'd ever get me back once I got there. Jesus Christ humbled himself, dies on the cross for our sins in humility, giving his life up. Oh, well, hadn't you read Preacher Jesus was really just asleep? No. Well, when you read, he just kind of passed out. He came to a little bit later. Those Roman soldiers were right. They just stole his body out of the tomb. He was dead. 3 days. And early on that third day, the breath of God moved into that old tomb in Israel. And the ground began to shake. Graves began to open up. See, when the Spirit of God shows up, anything might happen. The dead came to life. It could happen here today. The dead came to life. Jesus Christ is resurrected. But he had died a real death, all the pain associated with dying. He died a real death on the cross. Therefore, Paul says, I love that word therefore in Scripture. It means you got to take into consideration the things I just said. Paul is saying you got to take into consideration the things I just said to you. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. That Christ humbled himself of no reputation, took on the form of a bondservant, went to the cross and died, became obedient to the point of death, and died on the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth. That at the name of Jesus, all knees will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Humility confesses Jesus Christ is Lord today. There'll be many. I'll just let you in on my end time theology. There'll be many on that day when the trumpet sounds. I like to stop, you know that. I just think I'd go down in history if I said when the trumpet sounded, it sounded. When the trumpet sounds, there'll be those that day who fall to their knees and say it was true. He was the Son of God. But friends, let me tell you something. At that point in time, the door will be closed. It'll be sealed. The only opportunity you have is now to come to know that you know Christ. Paul said the day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Today has got to be your day. You want to be humble before God. You see him above all else, seated on the throne of your life. And in that humility, you discover a closeness in your walk that will make you more and more and more humble as you go, as you learn more and more and more about what God has done for you. Three things give you a closer walk. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Let me point out one more thing and I'm done. You say, I don't believe you said that before. Hang on. Allow me to point out one more thing. We are to walk humbly. Look what Paul said. We are to walk humbly. Look what Micah said. We are to walk humbly. We are to walk humbly with your God. That word with is important. You see, I'm not supposed to be behind God. So, no, wait a minute. Following is imperative. But let me tell you something. Here's what I've come to in my life. I'm not supposed to be behind following, but following is imperative. So how's that work? You're walking in God. God is in you. God is around you. And as you walk, you're following every step he makes. We walk humbly with God. Not behind, just follow after him with him in his presence. Not beside, before, you don't walk beside God because I'm not equal with God. But at the same time, I walk beside him or he walks in me. Walking with God entails walking in constant companionship while humbly cultivating a closer relationship with God today than you had yesterday. Next Sunday, if the trumpet doesn't sound, I want to talk about a subject that I think we all need to hear. So I'm looking for you next Sunday. I'm taking pictures. I know that you're here. Intentionality. Intentionality. You got to be intentional to walk close to God. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that's been mine to be your preacher. I thank you, God, for the subject matter. I thank you for speaking to me and through me, Lord. And now, Father, we come to what I believe to be the most important thing that we'll do this entire day. And that is come to offer to your people an invitation. Some that are lost in this very building today, Father, who need to be saved. They need to come and make that profession of Christ and receive Christ into their heart. Leave here a changed person. Father, there are those in this building who have decisions they need to make. And I pray, God, they might make those decisions today. Maybe it's to go to someone in this building, Lord, and get started with that forgiveness. Maybe it's to make a decision for you, Lord, to come and be part of this church, to follow in Believers Baptist, to make a public profession of faith in you. Father, whatever you need and want to do in this building, I pray that we would humble ourselves in your presence and wait for you to pick us up. I love you, Lord, and I praise you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand with me as we stand together? Would you come as God might lead you?